Broadcast is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, 501 Opelousas Avenue. Our post office box number is 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. This is Pastor H.G. Gale speaking and inviting you to stay tuned for the next hour as we worship our precious Lord in songs of praises and afterwards bring his message. And our Father, this morning, our hearts rejoice because thou hast called us to suffer with Christ. We thank thee, our precious Lord, that we learn much through sufferings, and thou dost wean thy children from everything, and is done through sufferings, through afflictions, which we praise thee for, because we know it's for our own good and for thy glory. We're being conformed more and more into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, being transformed in our hearts and our minds, and coming to know the love of God that passeth knowledge and understanding in Christ Jesus our Lord. And our Father, this morning, we thank thee for that precious hope, that blessed hope, that precious faith that looks away unto thee and sees our Lord within the veil as he's lifted high, and our Father there making intercession for us. And may many a soul this day come to know our Lord Jesus Christ, bow to him, and acknowledge him as Lord. Hear us in this hour. Give unto thyself much honor and glory this day. We ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Now let us turn to number 299. 299. Roll away. Say this. Now, if you're still carrying your burdens and they haven't been rolled away, you have nothing to sing about. But if your burden's been rolled away in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God has lifted your burden, then you can sing. We're talking about the burden of sin. Oh, how happy that individual is whose burden of sin, whose guilt has been put away under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you came here with a burden this morning and God's rolled them away, you can sing this song. Amen. But don't you sing it if you still have a burden there and the burden of sin is there, because you are making mockery of God. So this is for those whose burdens are rolled away. Come on and sing it. Thank you very much. And I hope that you could sing that with a true heart, and you have that knowledge that your burdens are rolled away. That brings joy to the heart, praise in the heart. David said, I was in the pit. God raised him up out of that pit, put his feet on a rock, put a song in his heart. Now why? He knew what deliverance was from guilt. He knew the power of God's grace, his delivering power in his heart. And so I hope that every one of you are able to sing that song, Rolled Away. Lots of people sing it, but they don't know. They just sing it. Well, now let's sing another song. 369. 369, and everybody stand as we sing. Come on. Everybody stand. If you're able to stand, come on and stand with us. Make this announcement concerning our workday Tuesday. We will have a workday Tuesday to get out the newsletter. Now, this is the invitation for everybody who can be with us Tuesday to get out our newsletter. We would appreciate it very much if all those who are able would come and help us. Time is at 9 o'clock. We begin work at 9. We'll have dinner at 12 o'clock. And we've been having some gracious fellowship. And I give the invitation to you here in Outland Radio Land, if you want to spend a gracious fellowship with us, come here Tuesday at 9 o'clock and have dinner at 12 and getting the newsletter out. And I'm sure you'll enjoy the day. Now, if you're interested in receiving a statement for your income tax, the money you contributed to the church through the years, through this year, this past year, then you see Brother Behan, and he'll gladly give you a statement so you can file it with your income tax and get deductions for it, claim it on your deduction. Mm. I had a statement here, but I misplaced it. But I believe you understand my speech by now. So if you want any, you want a statement on the amount that you gave this past year, file with your income tax returns. See Brother Behan. He'll make one up for you. And in Radio Land, you write in for yours. And Brother Behan will send you a statement of your contributions to this work. Let us turn again to the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Last week we studied on the walk of Noah. Noah walked with God. I want to continue that study. You might say it's a study in Noah's walk with God. And I've heard from different individuals how they appreciate these studies or these messages along this line, and want to know if they had many others. Any others? And there are many. And so let's look at this study, or this message again today from the 11th chapter of Hebrews. I want us to begin reading from the first verse of the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Turn with us in your Bible now. Our time gets by us, but we have enough time to cover quite a bit. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. That's wonderful. You know, I think I could bring another message along that line about Enoch pleasing God, walking with God. But now we're getting to that sixth verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please him. And you must receive that faith from him. So look how helpless you are in the part of God working and dispensing unto you the grace that's needed to worship him, to believe him. Because without faith, it is impossible to please him. And you tell me that the millions of people that worship the Lord or calls upon the name of the Lord, they don't have faith in him? Well, the Bible tells us that God does not dispense this faith to everyone, but only to his elect, only to his called out one, to the church, the body of born-again believers. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, he doesn't say that without works, it is impossible to please him. He says without faith. And therefore, you must have faith, and you've got to have faith. But it must be the faith of God. And you have to come to him to receive that faith. You cannot get it anywhere. You cannot work it up. You cannot dream it up. You cannot think it up. You cannot decide it up. You cannot do a thing in the world. You've got to come to God to get that faith. And so you see, there's only one channel left open to you. And you got to turn on to that channel. And that's the channel that goes to God. and you've got to come. And the only way you can get to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, you've got to come through Him. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please God, to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The seventh verse. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, I want us to look at that again, at that verse of Scripture as recorded in Hebrews 11:7. I want us to read it again. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, you all listen to me this morning. We have a lesson here for every one of us to learn. We'll be much longer here. Now, in the destruction of the old world for the flood, God showed his displeasure against sin. And you'll find that recorded in Job, the 22nd chapter. I won't turn there, but you can jot it down if you want to. Job 22, 15 through 16. In the destruction of the old world, God showed his displeasure against sin. In the preservation of Noah, he made manifest the privileges of his own people. And you'll find that in 2 Peter 2:9. Now, every believer has duties to perform on this earth. And I want us to recognize that this morning. Wonderful to talk about Noah. What a pious man he was. Full of piety. What a good man he was. What a righteous man he was. How he preached righteousness. But we must also consider he lived, and his conduct was worthy in the sight of God as a believer. Every believer has duties to perform upon this earth, and how they are to be discharged. Now, how are they going to be discharged? By faith. By faith. Also, they are to be discharged in the fear of God, implicitly obeying His commands. Hebrews 10:39 tells us, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Then 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, we gather from the reading of these two verses of Scriptures that the salvation of the soul is yet future. Now, don't, like I mentioned in the Sunday school class, now don't misunderstand me. Hebrews 10:39 speaks of saving, the saving of the soul, and not salvation as in 1 Peter 1:5. In other words, in order to be saved from the destructive power of sin, the ruinous allurements of the world, and the devouring assaults of Satan. Now, here's what the apostle is speaking about here. What we're being saved from, unto the saving of our soul. Now listen, what are you speaking about here? Well, from the destructive power of sin. That's one. From the devouring assaults of Satan. and then treading in the path of obedience to Christ. Verse 5 of Hebrews 11 shows us that by the exercise of faith, our affections are elevated above the earth and set upon things above. Now, we find this reference in Colossians 3. I want us to turn in our Bibles to Colossians 3. Colossians 3, and read with me the first verse. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And you can be sure that old Noah was dead to the world. But his life was hid with Christ in God, you see. And if you're a believer, you know Christ as your Lord and your Savior, your life is hid. You are dead. Let's put it that way first. You are dead. You are dead to this world. You are dead to this world. You have been crucified with Christ. But nevertheless, you live. And then, like that scripture tells you, you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's where you're living. Now, where are you living? You're living in Christ, in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. All right, then Hebrews 11:7 teaches us that our lives on earth are to be regulated by heavenly principles. Note this. Now let us note this in passing. The true born-again believer is a man living on earth as a heavenly man. Now you get that statement? A true born-again believer is a man living on earth as a heavenly man. Just to think, I'm a heavenly man living on earth. Our precious Lord, he belonged to heaven. He was the God-man living upon this earth, heaven-bound. He belonged to heaven. Noah was a heavenly man upon this earth. Every born-again believer is a heavenly man. His thoughts are centered above. His affection is above. He's dead to the world. Though the world goes on, and though you live in it, but you're not of it, you're dead to the world. Just think about that. I'm dead to the world. And the old body is caving in. The roof is caving in. It's given way to glory. It's given way to grace. It's giving way to the power of God. And it's demonstrating His grace in our lives, His great salvation. He is saving us from ourselves, from the world, and all of its glory. He is saving us from it. And that's, you talk about Noah walking with God. Yes, he was walking with him because he was a heavenly man living on this earth. You ever stop to think about that? Govern. Now, he is governed by, that is to say, he is governed by spiritual and divine principles and not by fleshly motives and worldly lust and interest. It's the world, I'm talking about the born-again believer. I'm talking about the child of God redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He performs many of the same deeds as the non-Christian does, yet with a far different object and aim. He certainly does. Whatever he does and the way he performs his duties, And you know, every one of us who name the name of Christ in whatever we do and the way we perform our duties, it should be done in obedience to God, in joyous response to His revealed will. The Christian wife, now here we're getting down to where we live. Now you tell me you're a Christian. You tell me you're saved. You're a mother and a wife. Wife and mother. Now, how are you living? How are you living? Now, I want us to turn to the fifth chapter of Ephesians. Like I said, there's something for everybody here this morning. Everyone out in radio line, I want you to listen closely. I often wonder why I don't see different individuals here. There are things that are wrong, I'm sure. The only time I see some people here is probably around fellowship day, and you never see them anymore during the year. I don't know whether it's to make a show or what's what. I was thinking about that this past week. People come here when we've got something extra going on. But why are they not here from Sunday to Sunday, listening and then getting instruction from the Word of God? Even though you may be home, there must be reasons why you're not here. Now listen to the fifth chapter of Ephesians, beginning reading with that 21st verse. Listen, this is to wives. Now listen. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. I repeat that again. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, are you doing that? Now, what did I say? What did I say just a while ago? Listen. The true born-again believer is a man or woman living on earth as a heavenly man. Now, you get this. That is to say, he is governed by spiritual and divine principles and not by fleshly motives and worldly lusts and interests. He performs many of the same deeds as an unchristian does, yet with a far different object and aim. Whatever he does and the way he performs his duties should be done in obedience to God. Now, I'm speaking directly to the wife right now. I've got something there for the husband too, but I want to show you something here. Whatever he does and the way he performs his duties should be done in obedience to God in joyous response to his revealed will according to the Word of God. And that very scripture there says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now that means exactly what it says. You might say, well, my husband's unsaved. Well, that doesn't matter. You forget about whether your husband's unsaved or not, and you submit yourself to your husband in obedience to the revealed will of God. You see, that's where it lies. But my husband doesn't think a lot about me. That doesn't matter. You submit yourself to your husband. He's your husband. And you married him, he's your husband. And you are to submit yourselves unto your husband as unto the Lord, doing it in obedience to God's revealed will. And if you're a child of God, you certainly will heed to the Word of God. You certainly will abide by its instructions. I've had to do it, and you have to do it. And every individual ever gets saved has to do it. Now listen. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For what reason? Now listen, he gives that 23rd verse. For the husband is the head of the wife. He's your head. And I'll not say anything about that head. That's God's word. He is your head. Even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now, if you are saved, you will do this. But if you rise up in rebellion and say, no, I won't obey my husband, he is not my head, then you are in rebellion against God, and you are setting forth a heart that's active in rebellion against God, his revealed will. And that shows that you're not saved. You cannot be saved. You cannot be saved. Because before a wife is saved, she'll come to that place to where she owes allegiance to her husband there. And she has to consider him as her head, and be in subjection unto him, and give due reverence to him. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. And you can be sure that's a stumbling block for many a woman. Now, I know a woman who's used to having her own way, her own self-will, and doing things like she pleases. It's hard for her to come over that, but she has to. If she'll ever get saved, if she's ever saved, or if she's saved, she'll constantly, one cry would be, Lord, just keep me in submission. Keep me in obedience to your revealed will, as is in the Word of God. Thy Word tells me to submit myself unto my husband, and give me grace to be submissive. Give me grace to obey thy will and be in obedience unto him. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, you'll have something here for the husband. Look at that 25th verse. Listen, husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. It doesn't say a thing in the world. Go back and talk behind their back and say things about them, or put them to shame, or try to embarrass them. Obey your wife. Love your wife. Husbands, love your wives. Don't try to make them feel silly in front of company. Love your wives. Now, that's the Word of God. That's God's revealed will. As Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. It doesn't mean for time, just for so many years. It means a lifetime partnership and a lifetime love. Love your wives. Husband, love your wives. Treat them dearly, kindly, affectionate. Love them, embrace them. Through the years, you say that's impossible. With man it is, but with God all things are possible. You want your home made over again, you look to the Lord. You cry unto him. I know I was at a home the other day, my wife and I. And the party happened to mention,
I called my wife over to sit by me right here, right on my left. I like her always near me. I like to hold her hands, embrace her, kiss her. I just love my wife. She's dear to me. I don't know what I'd do without her. And this party happened to remark and say, "You don't have to always have her by you, do you?" I said, "Yes, I love my wife." You see, you'd be surprised how marriage lives of men and women, husbands and wives, they actually become strangers as years go by. They lose their affections one with another for another. That's a sad thing in our day, especially when you have children growing in the home and they notice that. What is it to marriage? What is it? The husband arguing with the wife arguing with the mother. Always fussing and fighting. The husband comes in drunk, beats his wife, whom he promised to adore and take unto himself, for better or worse, rich or poor. No wonder our Lord will have to make a special place in hell for such individuals. He said, "Love your wives, husbands. Take your wife unto yourself and love her." Even as Christ loved the church, he gave himself for it, as he loved his body, as he treats it kindly, lovingly, patient with it, long-suffering with it. All of his grace, he gave himself for it. Be willing to give ourselves for our wives. Lay down our lives for them, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. Now listen to this. And shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Love grows. Love, true love, grows. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall he be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Separated from the home, going out and make their own, built around love. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. There it is. Now, they say marriage is a 50-50 proposition. I don't see that in here. I don't see that in the Word of God. That's giving yourself one to another. That's what marriage is. That's true love. Love grows. It's like love in a child of God. The love of God shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit. It grows. One time you were afraid to sing, "Oh my God, I love you. My Jesus, I love you." And you thought perhaps at times there was no love in the heart at all for him. But as love grows and blossoms within you, and the oil of grace begins to take over in your, you're washed by the purifying of the Word. You're washed by the Word of God. And you'll more boldly declare, "My Lord Jesus, I love you." You see him much clearer now. You see love in all of his glory, all of his grace, all of his beauty. And you can say him over and over again, "My Lord, I love you. My Lord, I love you." The first time it might be just a little weak note, faint. The second time, well, perhaps it might be just a little bit more boldly. But now, at that last time when the Lord turned to Peter and said, "Peter, lovest thou me more than these?" "Yes, Lord, thou knowest I love thee." Every true born-again believer loves the Lord, loves him. And so you love your wives, and wife, love your husband, obey him, and give him reverence, do reverence, respect him. All right. Both should recognize that in obeying the husband and loving the wife, they are obeying God. The same can be said of Christian employees, as you'll find in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, talking about employees. While we're in that book of Ephesians, let's turn to the sixth chapter then and read the fifth verse. Of course, there's something there for children too in that first verse. Listen. And begin reading with the first verse. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." But it seems like at the rate some are living, they're not going to live too long upon the earth. They want to have their own way, do what they please, join the ranks with the infidels and the pot smokers and everything else, the beer drinkers. They'll make a quick end to their lives. "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye servers as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them." He's talking here to the employers now. First to the employees and now to the employers. "Masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, and neither is there respect of persons with him." Now, my friends, such obedience to God's commandments in the ordinary relationship of life are necessary unto salvation. Now, you contemplate this statement, will you? Those precepts and commands have been given us by God. Everyone. And to disregard them is rebellion. And to refuse compliance is defiance. And we can be sure that no rebel against God can enter into heaven. And I repeat that again. No rebel against God can enter into heaven. unless our wills have been broken, unless our hearts have been brought into subjection to God and bow to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we have no scriptural warrant for concluding that he has begun a good work in us. Now let me repeat that again. Listen to me. Unless our wills have been broken. Now, how many of us might say, you know, the Lord has begun a good work in me. He said he'll perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. All right, now you listen to me. Unless our wills have been broken, unless our hearts have been brought into subjection to God and bow to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we have no scriptural warrant for concluding that he has begun a good work in us. Certainly not. Not if your will is still there. Not if your rebellion is still there. Not if your love of the pleasures of this world is still there. Ah, you might say, he has begun a good work in me, and he'll perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. But you go out with the crowds, and you go out in the pleasures of this world, and like some did this past Christmas season, you'll set up your pagan trees, and you'll join company with the infidels, and with the modernists, and the haters of the truth. You mean to tell me God's begun a good work in you? Why, that doesn't comply with the Word of God. It's not there. Certainly not. And you can go from season to season thinking, well, God, he may have begun a good work in me, but you rebel against your husband, you'll fight him, and you'll say manners of things against him, and you'll scorn him, and you'll neglect and give him due service as he should receive. You mean to tell me that God's begun a good work in you? No, sirree, he hasn't. Or if you're a husband, you belittle your wife, and you're running around with another woman, and all along you're saying, well, you know, he's begun a good work in me. He'll perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. You're headed for hell just as certain as I'm standing here declaring, pronouncing judgment upon you from the Word of God until you clear up and clean up and get right with God. Now that's all according to the Word of God. So let's not misunderstand it, but let's receive instructions. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, the Word of God sets forth the test of obedience. The test of obedience. I want us to turn to 1 John. Now, 1 John, in the second verse, the second chapter. 1 John, the second chapter. I want us to read something there, beginning with the third verse. Listen to it. 1 John 2, the third verse. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Now here's a test of obedience. Listen. Listen to me. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God. Is the love of God perfected? Hereby know we that we are in him. Now how may we be sure that we know him, the Lord Jesus Christ the righteous? How may we be sure? The answer is found in verse 3, if we keep his commandments. Now look at it, verse 3. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And what are his commandments? His word. Obedience unto Christ and his word is the true test of whether we know him or not. We cannot know Christ apart from obedience unto him. Now, you cannot know him apart from obedience unto him, obeying his word. The word keep means to maintain one's action or conduct, to keep his commandments. It also expresses the idea of watchful, continuous obedience. You see, that's the individual that can truly say the love of God is shed abroad in his heart. He knows God, the individual that obeys him and keeps his commandments, his word. All right, let's go on. The Apostle Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1:2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Also the 14th verse, obedient children, not fasting yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. And you have many scriptures along this line. Now, we are reminded of 1 John 1:6 and 8. Now, whoever it may be that disobeyed God's commandments, for him to say he knows God is a liar. An individual may boast of the fact that he knows Christ, and yet, if his conduct contradicts his profession is proven to be false. Now, you think about that. As Jude states in Jude 10, but these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Verse 5 sets forth the love of God, the born-again believer. God perfects his love in us who believe, which is the basis of our assurance. Now, the Word of God is full with instructions as in the test of obedience. All right, now we were talking about in the introduction about Noah. We spoke on it last week. But now I want to show you something else here. The blessed fruits and the rewards of Noah's faith. For we're saved by faith, we believe by faith, and we go to heaven on the same kind of faith. He and his house were saved when a whole world of sinners were perishing. I want us to go back to the 11th chapter of Hebrews. The 11th chapter of Hebrews. My time is getting by now. And I want us to read that portion, the 7th verse again in closing. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness of faith. Now, God always honors true faith in him, true obedience in him. He always honors it. It is true that no parent, now let's get back, let's listen to this now, that no parent can believe to the saving of his children's soul. And no parent can believe to the saving of his children's soul. Yet, the Scripture furnishes many examples of God's blessings coming upon those who exercise his faith on the account of others. You take Rahab the harlot. She believed the spies, and her whole household was preserved from destruction. What were they? You read that story? How gracious it is. The man sick of the palsy in Matthew 8:2. When the four brought this individual in, God honored their faith. And then the nobleman's faith, his servant was healed. You take the Canaanitish woman's faith, her daughter was made whole. Now, this is written for our learning. This should give us great encouragement to believing parents today who have unsaved children. Noah's faith judged and condemned the world, by which he condemned the world. Yes. His holy fear condemned their security and vain confidence. His faith condemned their unbelief. I'm trying to get this through before the time. You listen. His holy fear condemned their security and vain confidence. His faith condemned their unbelief. His obedience condemned their contempt and rebellion. Good examples will either convert or condemn sinners. The best way the people of God can take to condemn the wicked is not by harsh and fault-finding language, but by a holy conversation. Now, we have to leave in Radio Land, and you'll get the rest of this on tape. Listen to us next Sunday morning, the 7 to 8 Voice of Truth broadcast, the 10 o'clock Bible School of the Air, and the 11 o'clock worship. Let us hear from you. Our post office box number is 6250 New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Till next Sunday, goodbye. God bless you. We now see the reward of Noah's faith. He became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He was possessed of a true justifying righteousness. He was heir to it. His right of inheritance was through faith in Christ as a member of Christ's body, a child of God, and if a child, then an heir. Now listen in closing. My unsaved friends, if ever you expect to be justified and saved before the great and terrible day of the Lord, you must secure an interest in Christ and in the Ark of the Covenant and make haste before the door be shut, for there is no salvation in any other save Jesus Christ and Him crucified, buried, risen, ascended, coming back. Now, I brought this message as the Lord led me. But there is enough here for all of us this morning that showed forth the test of obedience of a child of God. Noah walked by faith. But the faith he had was the faith that saves, is the faith of that led to obedience in Christ. Now, it's easy for us to say that Enoch walked with God, Noah walked with God, and this one and that. But how did they walk? What was their manner of conversation in this life? And you find it all in here. And the test of obedience is a life that obeys God, obeys His Word, and lives in accordance with it, that God gives him grace day by day and bows into submission that God is right. Just like the unsaved wife who wants to be saved, she has to bow in submission unto the Word of God in obedience unto her husband. And the father, the husband, will take his place in the home as obedient and loving his wife, as doing it as unto the Lord. Enoch had a family. Enoch had a job. Enoch had children. And he walked every day, and from morning till night, every day, in the light of God's Word, His spoken Word. God spoke, and that was it. And that should be with all of us. God speaks. And may every one of us, and may you children, will say like little Samuel, young Samuel said, "Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. I'll listen. Speak, Lord." And the Lord heard him. He became a leader, a great leader in the army of the Lord. The test of true faith, the test of an individual salvation, is obedience unto the Word of God. That's the test right there. And I know how many times perhaps some of you, as wives, you probably turned over that chapter quickly. You didn't want to see it, where it says, Wives, obey your husband. And then there came the time that if you said, if I ever get saved, I'll have to turn over there and submit to it. See? But many times we want to turn it over and not see that which God records here for you and I. And as that husband comes across, love your wives, love your wives, love your wives. And you quickly say, no, I can't do that. I can't give that whole love, that true love.
The word God tells me.
They'll have to become obedient to the word of God and obey their fathers and their mothers as unto the Lord. As doing it as unto the Lord. Now, there's a difference when if your husband wants to drag you out into the world, well, that's a different story altogether. I'm glad you came. I hope you got something out the message. I hope you did. And may God's blessings rest upon it. Let's stand.